Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Sometimes it feels like there are a lot of rules when it comes to sex within marriage in the Catholic Church. And sometimes it's nice just to get some clear answers to what is and isn't okay when it comes to sex and marriage. Lately, I've been getting a lot of questions, just very specific of, can I do this? Can I do that? And that is why this episode is here today. We are just going to dive into some really clear answers on what is licit and what is illicit within marriage. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the Catholic sex and intimacy podcast for women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you expand your understanding of the beauty of sexual intimacy and grow in holiness through the gift of your body. Today, we have with us Dr. Sarah Bartel on the podcast, and we are going through just some really common questions that often come up about, is this okay within marriage, in sex? Is this okay? And we're just going to be rolling through those answers and answering those questions. This episode originally aired in 2022. If you listened to it before, it is worth another listen. There is just some gold in this episode, and it's really nice to have that refresher of some of these important concepts. And if you've never heard it before, get ready because you are in for a treat. So Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you start by just sharing a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I have been married almost 23 years to my wonderful, amazing husband, Nathan, and we have 5 children, ages 2 through 18. And really, I would say my best qualification for speaking to you and your guests is that my husband and I are more in love now than we were on our wedding day, that we are happily married, we found joy in marriage, and it's our passion to share those practices which lead to joy in Catholic marriage with others. But I did also get my doctorate in moral theology at the Catholic University of America, and I've worked with our diocese in the past and at the parish level and just regionally doing Catholic marriage ministry for the engaged and married couples. So it's been, over a decade of marriage ministry.
One of the things that Sarah and her husband Nathan talk about is when you're looking at an act and wondering, is this okay? They suggest asking these two very simple questions. Is this act respecting the unitive aspect of sex? And is this act respecting the procreative aspect of sex? We talk about this a lot on the podcast, that sex has two equally primary meanings of unity and procreation. And so asking those two questions can be really simple, but it can also be a little bit difficult. So that's why we're going to run through a couple of scenarios and how you would ask those questions and be able to discern for yourself. We're obviously not going to be able to go over every single question about sex because, we'd be here for days and days and days and days and years maybe. But we're going to go over some of the big ones, some of the big questions, and kind of use that process of those questions to help you see how you might discern this. So are you ready to get started, Sarah?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start with the first one. Sarah and I were chatting before we hit record. This is a big one. So the question is it okay when we're avoiding pregnancy and we're during a time of abstinence, is it okay to bring the woman to orgasm without bringing the man to orgasm?
Right. And so, and outside of full intercourse, right?
Exactly. Outside of full intercourse.
Okay. So we're talking about stimulating her, whether it's manually, orally, in a way it's pleasurable for her all the way to the point of orgasm. And no, I'm just going to say clearly right from the start, it's not. And the reason is, so we know that's not procreative, right? First of all.
Because, right. We can check that one off.
Right. And neither is it truly unitive because it is her, first of all, by it not being procreative, you've separated the procreative and unitive aspects of sexuality, which are, as Humani Vitae says, intrinsically integrated. Mm-hmm. They are meant to go together. So here we are just using the pleasurable aspect of sexuality outside of the purpose of procreation. And sex is not just for making babies. It is also for bonding the couple. But in this case, it's really doing neither, except possibly, as you were saying, you could, some people could make the argument that it's pleasurable as well for the man to give the pleasure to the woman and you know, bring her to orgasm. But what it's really the act of, you know, bringing her to climax is it's separating that from a bodily union of the two. And I guess it'd just be more of like a mental pleasure for him. Anyway, yes, I'm going to
draw a clear line
and say that is not an acceptable, you know, use of our sexuality.
Right. And I think something important to think about when you're thinking about that question of, is this respecting the unitive aspect, is that there's two parts to that question. There is the objective uniting of bodies. And so this is why things like IVF are not okay. You know, unitive has that objective need of the two bodies to come together. But then there is also a subjective unity that happens in, you know, head and heart when the bodies unite objectively. And so, yeah, so what Sarah is saying is that act, while it may be in some way head and heart unifying because of the pleasure and enjoyment and things like that, it is not bodily unified. Now let's take that to the next step. What about, you know, that manual stimulation to get woman to orgasm either prior to or after actual intercourse?
Yeah. Or during.
Or during, right. Using manual stimulation during.
Yes. And that is great. Yes. That is wonderful because there you're helping the unity, but it's usually by and large easier for men to enjoy and, you know, get pleasure from the act of intercourse. Should we just say with PIV? Can we use that term?
We could just use the term penetration.
Okay.
We just go there.
Right. Which by and large for women, penetration alone is not going to be that sexually stimulating and arousing for her. So to help bring her into this, you know, excitement and enjoyment and the pleasure of the act, you know, that's God created the clitoris, which does not have a procreative function. Its sole function is for women's pleasure. And so that is a sign to us. God wants women to enjoy sexuality and enjoy this, you know, intimacy with her husband, but it's going to take some thoughtfulness and skill on his part and communication between them both and, you know, and intimacy. That's a very private, you know, thing to be able to share, like, you know, and it can be done a number of ways, whether the wife is just telling her husband or guiding him, you know, using their bodies. But yeah, for him to stimulate her there manually or orally to help her achieve orgasm within the context of full intercourse with penetration. Yes, that is unitive for sure.
Yeah. And I think the key of what you said there is within the context of a full sexual act.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. And this is actually something from Love and Responsibility, which was written by Carol Wojtyła. That's John Paul II before he was, is he talks about that it's very important, in fact, for the woman to be brought to climax and that it is okay if that happens slightly before, slightly after, or on slight, you know, on a different timeline. And in fact, it is the job of the husband to make sure that that happens, even if it needs to happen afterwards. And, you know, ideally they would coincide, but that's not always going to happen.
Well, and you know, God made us so that men have a much shorter, steeper arousal curve than women do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it just takes her longer, you know? I mean, most of the time it's probably going to take her a lot longer to build up to that level of arousal that, you know, climax is possible. And so it's like God wanted to teach each of us to be other-centered, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, to teach
humans
to not just think about their own, you know, arousal curve and its conclusion, but to be aware of, you know, holding back a bit and helping their wife on this journey. And for wives as well, to be like, patient with themselves and aware that their husband's different and aware that they're going to have to speak up, or, you know, just that there's these two that need to become one. And that is the whole heart of marriage and of sex, is, you know, becoming united. And communication is really key to that. Union is right there in that word, communication, co, together, union, you know, becoming one. So yeah, it's a beautiful dance. But yes, objectively and subjectively, there is just all kinds of good going on with bringing the wife to orgasm before, during, or after full intercourse.
Awesome. You know, and something before we move on to another issue, I want to mention something that you said very quickly that I think people question and they're not really sure if it's okay. But you said that, you know, with manual stimulation or possibly oral as well, there's no problem with the woman guiding the man. And so you can, you know, you could guide his hand if needed, and, or you can guide him orally, right? And you can say, and what I meant by guiding orally is by talking to him.
Yes, with words.
So that's kind of confusing. Like, what? you can guide him with words saying, you know, go faster, slower, to the right, to the left, up, down, whatever.
Yeah. Or with your...
Those are completely okay to do that guiding, either with your voice or with your hands.
Or another way, because some people might feel awkward just stating it out loud with words so explicitly, is like in the kind of responses you're giving with like your non, how do I want to say this? Like little mms or, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Right. So you can make it very clear that certain things are pleasurable. Right. With certain noises, whatever your noises are, I'm not going to judge you on your noises. All noises are fine. Right. And you can kind of make it clear too, if something isn't pleasurable with certain noises, right. Certain kind of hums or.
Yeah.
Say moans. Yeah. We can say anything on this podcast.
Okay. This is okay. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. With certain like moans, hums, things like that, you can absolutely like, you can make it really clear, but I want to caution women on that, on using that solely, because your husband might not quite figure it out. Sometimes you have to be a little bit more explicit with, hey, you know what, this is a pleasurable noise and this is a not pleasurable noise, or it depends on your husband, but, you know, recognize that just making those noises might not be enough for your husband. And so you may have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit in order to get more pleasure, which is good. You know, so this is all good. This is all about uniting more fully together as husband and wife. And so stepping out of that comfort zone is good.
Yeah, that's good. And that's good to remember, the point of the pleasure is the unity, the bonding, the connecting you two, that it's the experience you're having together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Let's jump into another hot topic, sex toys.
Oh.
So, you know, what we're talking about, well, I think the biggest thing that we should talk about is vibrators. And then we can talk about sex toys kind of in more general terms. And I'll just share kind of my background, and Sarah, then you can kind of comment on it, or not my background, but my understanding is that, again, let's ask those two questions, and we'll start with the unitive aspect. Is it respecting the unitive aspect? Well, that depends on how you're using the sex toy. So if we talk about a vibrator, if you're using a vibrator to help get the woman to orgasm within the context of a sexual act together, and you know, you're using it together, then absolutely that's fine, because again, you're working on that unitive aspect. And on that same thought process, the procreative, again, as long as it's within the context of a full penetrative sexual act,
where the man's climax,
exactly, then it's fine. Now, if you're using it outside of the bounds of a unit or a full sexual act, then no, that would be really similar to masturbation, right? And another thing that I want to comment on here too is I've seen this quite a bit in the different like NFP Facebook groups and things, is that after the man and woman have intercourse, if the woman hasn't quite gotten to climax yet, sometimes the man will just hand her, I've seen this scenario a number of times, the man will just hand her a vibrator and say, okay, go ahead and finish on your own. And that's absolutely not respecting the unitive aspect.
I know, that makes me sad just hearing that.
It makes me very sad.
A married couple would do that, but that's not, yeah, that's not him showing sensitivity and care and presence for her.
Exactly. Like, and so
one wielding the vibrator, I would think.
Exactly. Exactly. And so again, like I want to use this term, I want to use the word together. Like you should be using the vibrator together. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that like the man has to be holding it or the woman has to be holding it or you have to hold it together or whatever.
You can't roll over and go to sleep at this point.
Yeah. The mechanics are whatever. Uh-huh. But yes, exactly what you just said. It shouldn't be, you know, just used by the woman and the man rolls over and goes to sleep because he's done. That's not together. That's not respecting the unitive aspect. Do you have any other comments on that?
Well, you know, when we talk about this in Catholic moral theology and, you know, sexual morality, we use the term a marital aid. And I think that really points to its function. It's supposed to be an assistive device, you know, to support the full experience of the you know, husband and wife coming together. So I think that speaks to its purpose. It's a marital aid. I don't know. You know, this is kind of new for me. I'm just going to be honest and open here that, like, you know, I understand objectively that that these are licit and there's a place for devices like this. But just personally, so taking off my moral theologian hat, but just, you know, my own marital experience and, you know, I guess what I'm comfortable with talking about with couples, that I have a little bit of an aversion or, you know, just I don't know. I feel like what can happen is that these devices, sex toy or vibrator, it could become a distraction. It could become the main thing. And I know that they are licit and it's okay within like what we just talked about. But yeah, it's kind of a new world for me.
It can really become a crutch too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's really important to keep in mind that term, marital aid. These are to aid us in that unity. And so if that marital aid becomes the end all be all, then suddenly it's no longer a marital aid. And it has now become an idol of your marriage.
That's a really good point. Like, is it the focus is, mm-hmm. you know, the pleasure, because it's really the people, you know, husband, wife, hopefully, God willing, you're going to live together such a nice long time and you're going to grow old together. Your bodies are going to work differently as you get older. And, you know, men will have a greater likelihood to have erectile dysfunction. We're going to have back trouble. You know, there's going to be lots of different things that happen with our bodies that are going to affect our sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that even if it's not like mind-blowing fireworks orgasm, maybe it's just like a little orgasm or like one of you mostly orgasmed, the other did their very best and, you know, whatever, like, that you're still, the whole point is you are connecting and loving and enjoying each other and enjoying your marriage. And, you know, like, do you understand what I'm trying to convey here?
Absolutely.
That the point is not the most intense pleasure possible all the time. And that determines the quality of your marriage. It's like being a sensitive and a respectful and loving and affectionate in your sexuality and, you know, no matter what your capabilities are physically.
Absolutely. Well, and I think I want to bring in something that you guys talk about a lot in your abundant course is being other-centered. I think a lot of times in sex, it is really easy to turn inward, is mm-hmm. to be centered on ourselves, to be centered on our own pleasure. And so we have this call as Christian spouses to turn outward during sex and to be centered on the other's needs and wants at that time, which I think helps again to like answer some of these questions. Is this okay? Is this okay? Well, you know, focus on being other-centered. Now, I think women can take that too far sometimes, right? And we can be like, oh, okay, well, then I don't need to orgasm.
Right, right. That's a qualification.
Still important.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, but it's really important to turn towards your spouse and to think about, you know, what's going to help them the most in uniting with me together in this act.
Yeah. I mean, sex is supposed to be self-gift. It's giving your whole self to the other, receiving the gift of your husband, your wife completely. And it is a renewal of your wedding vows. It's saying, I, Sarah, take you, Nathan, to be loyal, lawful, wedded husband. You know, it has a deep theological meaning and it's beautiful. And some of the newer questions I'm hearing as I, you know, hang out in like online NFP groups and see questions about sexuality, I would never even have imagined, you know, 10 or 15 years ago when I was going through grad school and whatnot. But still the concept of self-gift helps answer them. But can I bring one up that I've seen?
Absolutely.
An issue. And I actually have heard this a few times now, is the husband wanting to finish on the wife, but not in, or like have half his orgasm in and then half out. And he'll be saying things like, I want to be in control of my own orgasm. And okay, first of all, I don't know where this is coming from. It seems a little weird to me. But secondly, when you think about sex as self-gift and being other-centered, like his orgasm or his ejaculation, his orgasm, all that, it is for his wife. It's for their marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not his own thing to finish on his own. Yeah. So
right.
I don't know if you've seen this come up, but
I have. Well, and you know, one of the things you mentioned there is like, he wants to be in control of his own orgasm. And that word control gets us into trouble so much. And it's not about control. It's about giving. And when you are giving, you are actually relinquishing control. And so if you are truly being a self-gift to your spouse, you have no control.
Which is what is so intense about sexuality and for women as well. And that's why it's often hard for women to enter into that. Some women, you know, and some of us tend to be more anxious, right? And so losing control of, you know, our body having this big physical response to, you know, being aroused, it takes surrender to that.
Yes. You know, I love that word.
Leaving the to-do list and, you know, I want to get things done right. I want to get things done my way. Well, now here I am receiving, or my body's, you know, instincts are, you know, revving up and it's intense and I'm not, you know, it's that experience of surrender for wives. It's really an important part of sexuality, but for men as well, for both of us to surrender to each other in love with affection and trust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so just to clarify that point really further, the only place that a man's ejaculate belongs is inside of the woman's vagina. There's no question.
No, yeah, that is absolutely where it belongs. Like with the intention of that, but sometimes, you know, if he has like, he comes early and for, you know, like as a whoopsie.
Right.
Didn't intend to. There's no sin involved with that if the intention was to climax inside his wife.
Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. Accidents happen. Now you should never aim to have an accident in that way. Again, your aim should always be for the man to finish inside of the woman. That is a very important part of sex, and that can mostly be answered by the question of procreative. Is it respecting the procreative aspect?
Right.
And if the man finishes outside of the woman, it is not respecting the procreative aspect. And that's all or in part. It needs to respect the procreative aspect fully. And so it needs to fully happen inside of the woman.
Right. Which is why orally stimulating the man on the wife's part, her orally stimulating him all the way to orgasm, that is not okay.
Yes.
It can be part of foreplay, but it can't be the main deed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whereas on the other side, orally stimulating to climax, you know, man to woman is okay again within the full context of a sexual act. Okay. So there's one more thing I definitely want to touch on before we close out, which is lingerie.
Oh,
because lingerie is fun.
Happy to talk about that. Yes.
All right, go ahead. Talk about lingerie.
Oh, man. I mean, yes, it's fine. I don't know. Is there a moral question about lingerie? Are people thinking that it's not okay? It's okay.
I think sometimes it can be, the question comes up of, you know, Am I objectifying myself by putting on these clothes that accentuate certain parts of my body? Am I leading my husband into, you know, a morally difficult spot to lust over me and my body because I'm accentuating my body so much? These are kind of the questions that come up.
Okay. No. It's lovely. It's fine. I mean, think about our wedding. We dress in special clothes for our wedding, and it's just perfectly fine to, and lovely. And it's, I would say, part of self-gift to adorn yourself as a bride in a very feminine, lovely way. And it can help you as a wife feel sexier, which that's a huge part of us getting in the mood. Women have to feel erotic. I mean, you know, you have to kind of get into that space in your head. And like, our brains are our most sexual organ. And if lingerie can help you do that, or taking a bath, or painting, for me, painting my toenails, I don't know why painting my toes, then I'd be like, oh, I'm sexy now.
Yeah, hey.
I would say the issue with lingerie, not moral. It is like, what are my kids going to think when they find this in the laundry? Right? Or I have a funny one where I feel like if I die and people are like cleaning up my things, what will they think when they see this one piece? Which I know that's really funny. And
I never thought about that.
But then my husband Nathan will be like, they'll think you have this vibrant relationship with your husband. I don't know. For me, I feel like I've gotten lazy about lingerie because it's like last on my priority list. And I really, this is a good reminder that, especially with my wedding anniversary coming up, it's time to go get something. I'll like make an effort and get something pretty and feminine and, you know, lacy. And then like a strap will break and it'll be 2 more years before I get around to getting something else. Yeah. And it's, you know, comfy baby t-shirt time, which, hey, if that's what helps you feel comfortable and relaxed and wanting to be intimate, that is great too. I would say for women, like, it's really about what is going to make you feel lovely and feel sexy so that you can show up in a sexy way for your husband. And, you know, sometimes lingerie, I'm just going to be honest, sometimes they make you feel cold and awkward and itchy. And
yeah,
you know, that's really hard to be in the mood when you feel those ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think something to think about with lingerie too, is let's talk about that unitive question. Is this like helping both sides? You know, are you as the woman who is wearing the lingerie feeling more, you know, comfortable, prepared for intercourse? Or is it just the man? Like, you know, I think like recognizing that there's a need for both sides to enjoy using, wearing, buying lingerie.
It's such a dance, and it really is, you know. Yeah. I would say, like, we've learned, turn the heater on in the bedroom. I don't know. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and there's this pervasive, like, damp cold for most of the year. Mm-hmm. so we know, like, okay, we got to put the heater, you know, the space heater on. It's got to get going a little while beforehand. And it's just these practical things, you know. And yeah, you can show up looking really sweet and sexy for your husband, but not feeling at all in the mood, because now you're just feeling awkward and self-conscious. And it's got to be, you know, go both ways. And, you know, it can't be just a show for him. Right? Yes. It's got to be you entering into this as well. And I don't know, but being able to laugh with each other and play, that's a big part of a healthy sexuality as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, Sarah, unfortunately we're out of time. I know that there are a million more questions, but I want to remind all of you guys listening, is think about those two main questions that we brought up. Whenever something comes up, a question of is this licit or illicit, is ask yourself, does this respect the procreative aspect? And then does this respect the unitive aspect? And when you can, you know, really truly discern those two answers to those two questions, then most of the time you can come up with the correct answer. You can come up with a solid answer.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that, because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.